On the line now, I have Dr. Rosemary Day, head of the media department from Mary Immaculate College in Limerick and board member of the BAI. Good morning, Dr. Day. How are you?
Good morning, Noel. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, this survey that was done, the survey of Irish language on radio, what surprised you about it, or were you surprised?
No, unfortunately, we weren't at all surprised. We were expecting to find very little to zero amount of broadcasting in the Irish language on radio stations across the board. So what we did is we looked at there are 59 FM stations in Ireland currently, between national public service broadcasters, commercial local stations, and stations like Near FM, community radio stations. And we weren't surprised, but it was disappointing to find that our hypothesis, or if we had set out to establish that this was the case. So there really is just about 2 hours, 2 hours, 30 minutes per week of Irish language broadcasting across the board. And what's shocking, I suppose, is not so much that it's low for community radio stations. So I must compliment Near. Near was one of the highest, second only to Flirt FM in Galway, where they're based, you know, on the edge of the Belfast, and they have Irish language students, and they have an Irish language policy. So I think Near FM can hold its head up high, having a win in Wicca for a half an hour every morning and evening. But some other stations, including RTE, were absolute. Abysmal, you know. RTE seemed to have handed the whole responsibility over to Radio na Gaeltacht. And then we had stations like Galway Bay FM, who have the biggest Gaeltacht in the country in part of their transmission area, or Highland Radio in Donegal, or Beat and WL or down in Waterford with the Ring Gaeltacht, and even Radio Kerry, where they have just 2 hours of programming in the week. Mm-hmm. That's when you're talking about stations that are broadcasting 24/7. I mean, it's pathetic.
Okay, and there's no, I suppose, I'll use the word legislation to say that in areas like the Gaeltacht, that there should be at least maybe 50-75% of radio output dedicated to the Irish language.
There isn't, and that's one of the recommendations we're making. Now, we took it upon ourselves, I should explain, I lecture in media, as you said there to your listeners, and I did this work in partnership with Dr. John Walsh of NUI Galway, who lectures in Irish. And we just both happened to have an interest in the Irish language and in radio. And we said, isn't it amazing that nobody seems to be talking about this absolutely huge gap when you think of the importance of media in people's lives? And for two cohorts of people, for native speakers and people who are daily speakers of Irish, like many, many families in Dublin are now, where they're sending their children to the Gaelscoil, where they try and speak Irish at home. So those type of people who have good fluency, and then the other type of person who learned a bit of Irish in school, maybe wasn't even that keen on it, but has decided now that for various reasons that they'd like to improve their Irish or would like to listen to a bit, there is no service for them. So we have a number of recommendations. One of them is that the legislation be reformed and be much more precise and prescriptive, I suppose, for those stations who broadcast to Gaeltacht areas. So Galway Bay FM, for example, put a lot of money into a new transmitter out in Connemara, but they didn't introduce any Irish language programming. So all they were doing was beaming in more English language programming to an area that's under assault. As I say, some stations are better than others, and Near FM would be one of those, I suppose. What we've discovered, and we haven't teased this out in our research, but it's as simple as if you have people on the management team, or if you have a broadcaster who has an interest in the language and who has fluency in the language, then there's a chance it might happen. So in the case of Near, Ciarán O'Muirí, I suppose, would be the person who springs to mind, who's rearing his own family through Irish. Mm-hmm. And the ethos of community radio anyway means that you tend to serve people who are excluded from other airwaves. So your policies of having, you know, as many languages as are spoken in the northeast of Dublin on air means that you have several programmes that are not in English. So I think that maybe having Irish for you comes more naturally than in others, where we hear when we interview people in different stations where they had little or none, they were inclined to say, oh, but we don't know anybody who speaks Irish, we don't have an Irish speaker, or we tried, we'd like to. But, you know, that those are kind of, even to their own ears, I think, feeble excuses. What is encouraging, I suppose, Noel, is that Since we published the research there last month, or at the beginning of this month, not only did the attention from, you know, stations like yourself and from the print media and TG Cahir and Roger Nogueira, but also from the reaction of stations themselves, particularly those who had very little Irish on air, coming back and saying, well, you know, we do bits for Shocks and the Gaeilge and we have little inserts and we'd always be supportive of the language. So while that might sound like kind of hypocritical, I think in a way the fact that somebody actually asked stations what they were doing prompted some stations to look at their language provision and to say, do you know what? We aren't doing what we should do. We aren't doing what we said we'd do in our contracts with the BAI, and could do a lot more. And I think that when we repeat this exercise, we're repeating this now in the spring of 2018, I think we will see maybe not a huge increase, but some increase, which you know, it would at least see people moving in the right direction and probably changing attitudes as well. You know, that's the first thing that has to change.
Yeah, I suppose, as you said yourself there, it's just in the back of the mind. If they don't think about it and it's brought to their notice, and maybe that's the good thing about it. But are they not sent out, for instance, the BAI, do they not send out sort of circulars and say, listen, you're not putting enough Gaelic on the radio? Don't do that at all anywhere around to the stations?
Not to my knowledge, and as you said there, I am on the board of the BAI, but that hasn't been a strategy. The authority tries to, as a regulator, tries to have a light touch regulation, so they try not to be too prescriptive or too dogmatic. They try and the authority and the executive and the authority try to respond to needs and also to complaints by members of the public, and I suppose it's a reflection on how much people value the language that there has never been a complaint, to my knowledge, to the BAI about the lack of Irish language broadcasting on any radio station. Mm-hmm. So that's something for people who are Irish speakers and who feel maybe annoyed that they aren't getting programming in their own language, that to think about, because there has never, to my knowledge, been a complaint about it. And so I suppose we've ruffled a few feathers by doing this. That wasn't our intention. Our intention was to genuinely find out what was going on there. But in the next phase of the research that we're doing in spring, we're repeating the survey of the amount, you know, counting the amount of programming on the 60 stations. But we're also interviewing some managers and broadcasters, and we're comparing what stations have promised to do in their contract with their actual provision, and we've told them all this. So I think that normally research is a very dry kind of an activity, and it doesn't have much impact on practice. But in this case, we were already seeing the reaction by stations, where sometimes all they needed was just someone to say to them, this is important, or to show an interest. So if you can imagine a station that's been on air, like LMFM, for example, since 1989,
yes, yeah,
and nobody has come back and ever said, are you doing your Irish language program? If they lose a presenter, or if, you know, if the program goes off the air for one, you know, in schedule mm-hmm. changes, if nobody, either from the listener side or particularly from the regulatory authority, holds them to account and says, well, you promised you'd have an hour a week of Irish current affairs or whatever, if nobody ever asks, why would they go out of their way if it is a bit more difficult for them to find someone to employ? So that, I suppose, is a conclusion in itself.
Isn't it surprising, Rosemary, that a lot of complaints haven't come in, especially from the young people, as you say, the Gaelic school, so many of them out there mm-hmm. now, and the growth of the language, there's no doubt about the growth of it over the past 10 years is absolutely astounding. So that's a surprise there. Do you think maybe in the back of the head, like a lot of the presenters as well as management are sort of saying, well, there's nobody out there listening, so what's the point? And if there's nobody complaining, that counter argument is there.
I think, Noel, what happens in a lot of cases, particularly in commercial stations and in the public service broadcaster in RTE, is that management are well over 40. You know, they're probably over 40, probably the same age as myself, in their 50s. Mm-hmm. And that generation had quite a negative experience of the language in school and in society. It was kind of very exclusive. And they felt excluded from it, or felt, a lot of them felt it wasn't important. Whereas the younger generations, you know, from 40 down, have had a much more positive experience of the language and are much more, I suppose, European and outward looking, and understand the importance of language for, you know, the sense of identity and of nationalism, really, mm-hmm. and of keeping a sense of ourselves as working with others, but separate and different to others. So younger people are much more, they embrace the language much more, and it's true that the Gaelscoil movement, if you like, that the spread of Gaelscoil throughout the country has really contributed to that. But I'd say even, I don't know if you know this, but many years ago I was an Irish teacher in Chanel College in Coolock within mm-hmm. your transmission area, so I'd say hello to all of those. And I had loads of boys going through who had got very little fun out of Irish, and sometimes, you know, certainly if you didn't get a class till they were in fifth year, it was nearly too late to make much of a difference.
Indeed, yeah.
Linguistically. But attitudes could change, and I've had over the years I've had great satisfaction out of meeting or getting emails from past pupils who say, well, you never managed to teach me any Irish, but all my kids are going to the Gaelscoil and I'm going back at night now, or I've learned the Gaelscoil. And I think that there's a big sea change in the country. That's only
do you think maybe some of the sea changes you're talking about there is the massive integration of other cultures in the country, and people are striving for an identity now, living in their own country, because they hear the other language and hear it speaking so fluently, especially with the integration of children into the schools as well, of the different cultures. Do you think that could be a spur and why the...
Oh, I think definitely. I think it's a huge reason for it. And that people are not afraid that if they learn another language, they will won't have enough room in their mind for maths or for, God help us, for computer skills mm-hmm. or whatever. You know, there's an understanding among other people that the more you exercise the brain, the better it is. But I think, you know, another side of that, of the benefits, I suppose, for the Irish language, of new immigrants speaking their own languages, is the amount of times that, say, a debating competition or a talent competition that's run, you know, by an Irish language organisation like Conor na Gaeilge or whatever, that just as in athletics, you can have the child or grandchild of Nigerian parents or of Lithuanian parents or of Brazilian parents who will have a name from those countries who wins the first prize in speaking Irish.
Yes, indeed,
writes the best song in Irish. And it kind of makes people say, well, it breaks down the fear that older people had that Irish was somehow some kind of mystical language that was so difficult to learn that they could never achieve it. Whereas I used to find when I was teaching Irish that boys would start learning French or German at the age of 12 and 13 would tell you quite confidently, oh, I'm brilliant at French, I'm great at German, and they wouldn't realise that they had three times the store of vocabulary and of understanding.
Well, do you not think that was,
taught so badly?
Do you not think partly that was the problem there was the curriculum as well? Because, I mean, my kids, when they were going, German, French, all that was part of it more than Irish was. So, I mean, because they were mm-hmm. told this is what was important if they wanted to make their way in the great Europe, in the great world,
yep.
I should say. So do you think that's part of the problem as well?
Oh, I do. I think a lot of it can be laid on perception and misperceptions. You know, and that I think one of the great things about not just about immigration into Ireland, but also about the amount of time young people spend on the internet, is that they see that there is a wider world out there. Now, most of the time they're accessing stuff in English, but they're watching a lot of film now and a lot of YouTube clips that are dubbed or that are subtitled, and they're realising that, you know, the world isn't a bubble of English speakers,
mm-hmm.
and that there are many different ways of being creative, and they're loving, programs and television series from Latin America and from Scandinavian countries, and they say this is a whole different way of looking at things, mm-hmm. and they're excited by that, and they see that people don't always think in English, and but the main thing I think is the nationalist pride, the pride in your nation, and the pride in being just that little bit different, of being. Maybe not even different, but of being yourself, of not being part of Britain or being part of Europe, but in a way that others are as equals. So rather than coming in on the coattails of the English speaking countries coming in, I have a dog here going mad.
Yeah, is he barking in Irish?
Well, did you know that the question that most Irish speakers speak to their dogs and cats in English?
Yeah. Can I ask you something?
Some quirky reason.
Yeah, well, I have to say, with the deficit you're talking about in the general media for Irish, I have to congratulate Tina G because they do a great, great job with Irish.
They
There's no doubt about it. Do you agree?
They do, and I don't know if you're oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just been mind-blowing, and it's been a great... it's given great confidence to Irish speakers, I think. I'm from Dublin originally, but I'm living down in the west of Ireland now, in Clare, not in an Irish-speaking district. And it's great to be able to turn on the television and to have something that I can watch through Irish. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of their programming doesn't appeal to me. A lot of the art here and the country and western stuff and the dancing competitions and that... They have their own appeal, and they bring in, I suppose, people who might have less Irish and who say, well, you know, I can follow what's going on. And then the next thing, they wait for the next programme, and it might be a documentary with subtitles. And they stay because the content of that is so good. Mm-hmm. And all of that really builds confidence. And when you have confidence that the language is a living thing rather than something that you learned in school, like I didn't learn Latin in school, but that kind of a dead language thing, it changes. John Walsh and I are doing another research project based on Radio Nalifa, one of your sister stations, which broadcasts to Irish speakers. And one of the things we're investigating there, and it's very, very interesting, is to see what the broadcasters, the volunteers, think about the Irish language project of Radio Nalifa. So Radio Nalifa, as it happened, I was involved in setting it up 25 years ago, but we wanted to, before TG Carr came on air, there was nothing. Radio Nalifa had 1 hour a week based in Dublin, and that was it for Irish speakers in Dublin. So we tried to set up something that would meet our communication needs.
Well, doesn't that give the example, Rosemary, that if something is, if you stick at something, people will watch it that want to watch it, and if you put on decent programming, I mean, the documentaries on Tina G are fantastic, and some of the programs I'm going to finish off by finish off by asking you about, I mean, the strategy from the VEI. You know, you had no specific strategy. You're on the board there, and a code of practice as well. So will this survey change the attitude of the VEI, make them a little more stringent in a sense?
Well, I don't think it make the BI more stringent. And there are two parts to the BI. There's the board, which are, you know, selected by the Joint Oireachtas Committee to represent citizens of Ireland, and also to keep an eye on what the how things are progressing. And then you have a much larger staff or executive who execute what's laid down in legislation. The problem is that the legislation is quite weak. It's very weak on Irish language. But I don't think that the BAI, I think that the success of the BAI in all of its iterations from IRTC to BC to BAI has been that they have a light touch and that they work in partnership with stations to try and help them to meet their obligations or to develop more interesting programming. So things like Sound and Vision, which NIR have availed of heavily in the past and has been very useful, brings funding, but it also brings, and its primary aim is to bring really good quality public service programs to community stations, to local radio stations, to TG Cahir, which you just mentioned, and to RTE itself. But the BEI's, I suppose, approach always, and I have to say I'm fully supportive of, is to try and lead by example, to provide education and to provide funding and support to help, rather than have a big stick and beat people into things, you know.
As you said yourself, just as you mentioned there, Rosemary, with a big stick, but what about the carrot of Sound and Vision? If you sort of had a higher percentage, that would only get the Sound and Vision.
I would be all in favour of that.
If it was done in Irish,
I would be all in favour of that. And we have had a round where it's been, we have had rounds where rather than having a general round for an application to be made to make a programme of any type, where there might be an emphasis maybe on animation film, on Irish language programming, on media literacy, so we have had specific rounds which are helpful. And a large part of the pot in Sound and Vision goes to TG Cahir programming and to Irish language programming across the board. So that end of it is working, but the awareness end of it, I think, and the sense of responsibility of stations, and I suppose the need for older management to wake up and realise that, as we said, there has been a sea change among younger people in Ireland, that they don't hate the language and that they are looking for something that they can tune into, that might make a difference.
Okay, and I think we the younger people as well to wake up, and if they have a complaint and they're not seeing enough of it to make those complaints to the relevant authorities. Because if you're mounting this campaign as a result of this survey, you're going to need the backing of the public to get out of this apathetic attitude they have.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, it's been a great pleasure talking to you, and the survey, very, very interesting. And so it's available online as well, Dr. Day, is it?
It is. It's available with audioresearchcentre.wordpress.com.
Okay, and people
and the full report there, and the findings and recommendations that we make, along with the empirical work giving the amount and the names of the programmes that each station does. That's all there. So, Gurmila Magatnol.
Thank you very much.
Nairila, Near FM.
Okay, thank you. Bye bye. Pleasure talking to you.